Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening to our program this morning. As always, we hope that things are getting off to a very good start for you today, that you're looking forward to getting out and worshiping God on this first day of the week, a day on which Christians all over the world come together in churches to honor the God of heaven and remember His Son, Jesus Christ. We'll be doing that this morning at Eastside. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, 9 o'clock this morning. We'd love for you to come and be with us as we study God's Word and honor His Son. If you're not able to get out, check us out online. Our services are live streamed. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, or look at our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Click on the Media tab and the live streaming there. But we'd love for you to come out and be with us. We'd love for you to study the Scriptures with us this morning in our Bible classes. As I said, they begin at 9 o'clock. We focus a lot at Eastside on studying the Scriptures, just what God has said to us in His Word, the Bible. We believe it to be the inspired Word of God, and we study it regularly. We try to learn and understand what is in it and what it's all about, so that we might serve God acceptably, so that we might know the truth, and that we might please Him. The Scriptures are a great blessing to us today, that we have God's Word available to us in writing, that we can look at it and understand His communication to us and what it is that He wants us to know and do and believe. It's a great blessing to have that information and to be able to impart it to our children so that they might be wise enough to choose the way of salvation for themselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the young preacher Timothy, talks about that. He talks about how Timothy came to know the truth and what impact the Scriptures had on him. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." That's a great statement, and it helps us to understand the importance of the Scriptures. Timothy, as a young man, was trained in what the Scriptures say. He learned what God says in His Word from very early in his life. And Paul is telling him to stick with that. Stick with what you have learned and been assured of, these holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise to salvation. Well, that's our goal at Eastside. As I said, we're trying to learn what God has to say to us in His Word, trying to share that with our children in Bible classes, and just try to live it out in our lives so that we might be pleasing to Him, so that we might be wise for salvation. I hope that's your desire this morning, that you want to know more and more about the Bible and what's in it. If we desire salvation, then we will desire the Scriptures. We'll desire knowledge of the Scriptures. We should study them. In fact, we should study the Scriptures till we go cross-eyed, if you will. In Psalm 119 and verse 123, the psalmist says, "My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word." The psalmist is talking about looking into God's word continually. His eyes are failing from seeking salvation that's contained in God's righteous word. We ought to draw deeply from the wells of salvation that are contained in Scripture. God in Scripture has shown us the way of salvation, shown us how to come to His Son, Jesus Christ, told us what He's done for us in enabling us to be saved and what we must do in response to that. He is truly a God of salvation, and He's conveyed that to us in His Word in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, Isaiah says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, proclaim that His name is exalted.'" That's exactly what we're trying to do, to draw from these wells of salvation, to talk about all the wonderful things that God has done, to proclaim His name among the people, that His name would be exalted, and that we might enjoy everlasting salvation, making known the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and His wonderful plan as is revealed in Scripture and laid out for us in human history. Our longing for salvation, then, and our longing for the word of salvation that is found in Scripture, those two desires are inextricably connected together. We want salvation, therefore we want God's word. Listen to the psalmist again in Psalm 119 and verse 81. "My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word." The idea of hope is this desire and expectation, something that we are really looking forward to, that we want, and that obviously is our salvation. We hope for salvation through the Word of God. In Romans 15 and verse 4, then, over in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul explains that whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Scriptures are where we go to develop hope, to develop a desire and expectation of salvation. The Scriptures contain that hope for us. They were written, in fact, for our learning that we might have hope. Whether you're talking about the Old Testament, which was primarily given to Israel, or the New Testament, which is for all men, it is all important to us, and it all connects to this great hope of salvation that we can have. So let me ask you just this morning, how much do you study your Bible? How much are you involved in learning what the Scriptures actually have to say for yourself? We want to look this morning at the importance of Scripture and its connection to our salvation. We want to think about how important it is for us to study God's Word, to learn what it has to say, to share it with others as well. As we go through the New Testament, we come to the book of Acts, and we see Jesus has been crucified, raised from the dead, exalted, ascended back to the Father. And now the apostles are preaching the gospel, and they begin in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles, and they speak in other tongues and other languages which they had not learned. There were people in Jerusalem visiting at this time during the Feast of Pentecost, and they'd come from a lot of nations all over that area of the world. Peter and the other apostles stand up, and they start speaking in the languages of these other nations, and they're speaking things concerning the greatness and the goodness of God and His works. People come together when they realize what's going on, and they hear what the apostles have to say. They wonder how this could possibly be happening. And Peter stands up and he says, explains to them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 16, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Peter says, look, the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, talk about what's going on right here. They explain what it is that we're doing. The Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit has enabled the apostles to speak with other tongues. The Holy Spirit is the one who's giving them the message of the gospel to preach to the whole world. But Peter quotes the Scriptures to verify that. In fact, throughout this sermon that he then goes ahead and preaches on that day of Pentecost so long ago, he continually refers to the Scriptures. He quotes Scripture to talk about and prove that what he was doing and that what was happening was planned by God all along. In fact, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 25, he quotes from what David wrote in Psalm 16 verses 8 through 11, way back in the Old Testament. He says, "For David says concerning him," that is concerning Jesus, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's at my right hand that I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You've made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." Now that's Scripture from the Psalms, written hundreds of years before the time that Peter is quoting it. Peter says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried. His tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." What's the point that I'm making? I'm saying that Peter quotes David, writing hundreds of years before, concerning the resurrection of Christ. He quotes Scripture to demonstrate that truly Christ was to be raised from the dead. David wasn't talking about himself. David's tomb was still with them, even in the days of Peter. They could have gone and opened the tomb and probably seen the bones of King David. But Jesus Christ, who was crucified just a little more than 7 weeks before the time that Peter is saying this, and he rose from the dead and he ascended back to the Father. They couldn't find Jesus's body. So this prophecy found in Psalm 16 was about Christ being raised from the dead. His flesh did not see corruption. His soul was not left in Hades. David is using Scripture to demonstrate the salvation of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we find this all throughout the book of Acts as the apostles preach the Word of God and share the good news of the gospel. They are constantly referring back to the Old Testament Scriptures. A little bit later in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3, a big crowd gathers together in the area of the temple known as Solomon's Porch. Peter, through the power of God, has healed a lame man, and that's attracted a lot of attention. So Peter preaches about Jesus again, telling them about salvation through Jesus Christ, and also explaining who Jesus is, that he is the prophet that they must all listen to. And the reason that is true, according to Peter, is because it said so in the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. And so in Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, Peter says, "Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. It shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.'" Peter there is quoting what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 18. He's quoting Old Testament Scripture to demonstrate that Jesus was that prophet to come. He is the one that everybody must listen to. He is the one whose word must be followed. And if we don't hear that prophet, we will be utterly destroyed, according to what Peter says and according to what Moses wrote in Scripture. Peter goes on to say in Acts chapter 3 and verse 24, "Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, also foretold of this day." So a lot of prophets in the Old Testament prophesied about the coming of the Messiah and talked about who he would be and what he would do and how we can identify him. That's found in Old Testament Scripture, as Peter says, from Moses on through Samuel and all the prophets, so many of them in the Old Testament. What are we learning? We're learning that the Scriptures contain information all the way through about our salvation, starting with the identity of Jesus Christ himself, learning who he is and what he did for us. A little later on in the book of Acts, you have a case where a man from Ethiopia had gone up to Jerusalem to the temple to worship, and he's going back home. He's riding in a chariot on the road to Gaza, and he's joined by Philip, the evangelist, who the Holy Spirit has sent to meet up with the Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian's reading Scripture. He's reading from prophet Isaiah. He's got a scroll with him right there in the chariot. The place in the Scripture which he read, Acts 8 verse 32 says, was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth." The Ethiopian asked Philip, "Who's the prophet speaking of himself or some other man?" And the text says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35 that Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this Scripture, preached Jesus to him. So based on that Scripture in Isaiah, Philip was able to preach Jesus to the Ethiopian, and he came to believe in Jesus. And right there, as they were traveling down the road, he asked Philip at one point, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip says, "Well, if you believe, you may." So Philip baptizes him, and the Ethiopian comes up out of the water, and he goes on his way rejoicing, for he's experienced salvation. Isn't that a great story? And it's all because the Ethiopian was reading Scripture, and the Scripture was talking about Jesus, a Scripture that had been written 700 years before Jesus was even born. Again, as we go through the book of Acts, we see so many places where those who are evangelizing, those who are sharing the gospel story, go back to Old Testament Scripture and cite places in the Old Testament that prophesied and predicted of the coming Christ and his kingdom and the establishment of the church and the way of salvation. When Paul went to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17 and verse 2, "As was his custom, he went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures." And a lot of people in Thessalonica became Christians. Paul was reasoning from Old Testament Scriptures concerning Christ and the truth of God's will. When Paul goes on to Berea in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, These people were even more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. These people were looking at the scriptures to find out whether or not the preaching they were hearing was true. You know, you can always go to scripture to find out if preaching is true. You don't have to, and you shouldn't, just accept what somebody says, even your preacher, whoever he might be. We need to go to the scriptures to verify. And that's what these Bereans were doing. The scriptures are so valuable to us. They verify to us whether or not something is true or false concerning the way of salvation. We need to be using them continuously. In the city of Ephesus, there was a man in Acts chapter 18, a certain Jew by the name of Apollos. He was born at Alexandria. He was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. So he was preaching, but he didn't know the whole truth. He didn't know about what true baptism was. He only knew the baptism of John. But Aquila and Priscilla take him aside and explain to him the word of God more accurately. And it says about him in Acts 18 and verse 28 that he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Again, over and over, we're seeing the scriptures showing us the way of salvation, explaining to us who Jesus is, leading people to believe and obey the gospel. Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 5 and verse 39, speaking to the Jews, he said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Indeed, eternal life is found in the scriptures, because Jesus is found in the scriptures. People say, "Oh, we don't need a Bible, we just need Jesus." Well, your information about Jesus, the way to get to know Jesus, is in scripture. Jesus said, "The scriptures testify of him." In John 6 and verse 45, Jesus says, "It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." The prophets, the Old Testament scriptures, told about Jesus. And so may our goal for ourselves and for our children be to learn from the Father, from Scripture, that we might come to know Jesus and obey him. When we get to the New Testament, the writings and words of the inspired men through whom God gave us the Scriptures of the New Testament really are the foundation of our faith. We must know what those Scriptures say. We must know what's in the New Testament Scriptures that we might come to understand who Jesus is in detail, and what it is that we are to believe and do. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul discusses the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to him, he says, and how that, in verse 3, "by revelation, he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." So even though the Old Testament speaks to us much about Jesus Christ and the way of salvation that God had planned, the details of that and the fullness of it was not really revealed until we come to the New Testament through the apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ. Paul says, "I have written about that. I've written to you about that. And when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." We can know what God wants us to know by reading these New Testament scriptures that come to us through the apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ. The words of those apostles and prophets were meant to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 46, when Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch of Pisidia, it says that Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles." So Paul and Barnabas have been speaking to Jews. Many of them did not want to hear it. So they decide, well, we're going to turn to the Gentiles. And then Paul says in verse 47, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." The apostles were given this mission of being a light to the ends of the earth for all people, for all time. The scriptures that they left us have the information in it that we need for salvation. We must not twist what we read. We must accept the scriptures as intended, as they've been left to us. It's so tempting to try to make the scriptures confirm our biases, our beliefs, things that have been handed down to us from our parents or grandparents, or things that will make our lives easier, we think. but we must allow the scriptures to say what they say. Let's look over at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, and notice what Peter has to say about leaving the scriptures as they are, letting them say what they say, and rather than twisting them. He's been talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3, the judgment day, the coming of the Lord, and our need to prepare for that. He says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of scriptures." Peter has a lot to say there about the importance of us preparing for the judgment day so that we might be found in peace, without spot and blameless. We need to remember that Christ is long-suffering to us. We're just being given another day to live so that we can make sure to get ourselves ready. His long-suffering, the long-suffering of the Lord, is amazing. He's put up with an awful lot over the centuries from humankind, and yet he hasn't come back yet to judge the world. So every day that we have is just another day for us to get right with the Lord. The long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. You've been given another day today to make yourself right with him. And then he talks about how the Apostle Paul had written concerning these things as well. So Peter's writing inspired scripture, even as we're reading this from 2 Peter chapter 3, but he references writings that the Apostle Paul has done. And he says, he speaks to you in these epistles concerning these things. He says some of these things are hard to understand. And there are things in scripture that are hard to understand. They're not impossible, but they're difficult. But if you're untaught, you're unstable, you want to make things out what you want them to be instead of accept what God has to say, you might twist those scriptures and try to get them to say something that they don't. He says, untaught and unstable people twist them to their own destruction as they do the rest of scriptures. This is really instructive for us because we learn that the Apostle Peter regarded what Paul wrote as scripture, New Testament scripture, and also the rest of scripture. We have other scriptures in the New Testament and Old Testament scriptures, of course, as well. So all of that is scripture. All of that is scripture. And people will twist it to make it say what they want it to say instead of what it actually says. Peter had warned about that even more explicitly in 2 Peter chapter 1. If we go a little bit further back in this second epistle of Peter, he says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, this is the New English translation, he says, "Above all, you do well if you recognize this, no prophecy of Scripture ever came by the prophet's own imagination. No prophecy was ever born of human impulse. Rather, men carried along by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." So the writings of Scripture are what they are. These aren't our words or words that men have made up. That's not how Scripture came. Prophets spoke and prophets wrote, but they wrote by the inspiration of God. The Holy Spirit was moving them to say the things that they said and write the things that they wrote. That's what we have in the prophetic scriptures of the Old Testament. And that's what the apostles and prophets of the New Testament did as well in writing the New Testament scriptures. These words are from God. And so they're not left to us to put our own interpretations on or our own twists on what we think they mean. That's not why they're there. They're there to explain to us what God means and what he intends for us to know and understand. And I might say that there's no understanding scripture differently. If we understand it, we understand it the same way. If one of us thinks something different from the other one, then one of us, or maybe both of us, don't understand what the scripture is saying, because the scripture is not saying contradictory things. This is the mind of God. These are the words of God. That's just saying one consistent thing, and we need to get a hold of that. We can't justify our differences by saying, well, you just understand it one way and I understand it another way, and that's going to be okay. No, that's not okay. What the scripture says, this is God's word. These words were left us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must pay attention to them, and we must not drift away from that original message. Jude writes in Jude verse 3, He says, "While I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." This is a once for all time thing that God has delivered to us, the Holy Scriptures. He's not continuing to reveal His will to us. The Scriptures are complete as we have them. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." We have been given all that we need to do that which is good, to do that which God wants us to do to please Him. We must not go beyond what God has given us, and we must not drift away from what God has given us in Scripture. In fact, the writer of the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. If the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? That would be the apostles of Christ. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. So we have a message that's been left to us by God from Jesus through His apostles, by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's been confirmed to us by the miracles that were done by the apostles. That is to say, we know they were speaking from God because He allowed them to do these supernatural things that we have testimony concerning. And so that demonstrates that these are truly from God. These Scriptures are truly from God. We must not turn away from the Scriptures. We must not make them into something other than what they are. Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, and he's explaining to them that the faith that was revealed both orally and in writing through the apostles and prophets doesn't change. The gospel is not something that is in a state of flux. It is permanent. It is fixed. He says, Paul does in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." Paul is as plain as he can be. The gospel is not changing. No man has the right to change it. It was delivered by God to inspired men through the Holy Spirit. They left it for us in writing that we can read, see what they said, see what it meant, and follow. All Scripture is sufficient for us. It's all that we need. We must follow it. So Paul will write in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. He says to the Philippians, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." What does he mean, work out your own salvation? Just do whatever you want to do? No, he goes on and explains in verse 16, "holding fast the word of life." Holding fast the word of life, that's what we must do. We must hold fast to the Scriptures, hang on to them, and believe and do what they say. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Are you holding on to the Scriptures this morning? I hope that you are, because it's the only way you can walk the way that leads to life.